listened to them before, and that was kind of weird. Reminds me of Primus a little bit.
Some of it, yeah. They got a lot of different styles going on in there from those little snippets that we listened to.
Yeah. Kind of whimsical, but like topsy-turvy kind of carnival shit, which reminded me of
reminded me of
some Rob Zombie stuff, but more like bass driven, like Primus, just weird experimental type of music.
I think that's what they're listed as, is
experimental rock, avant-garde, jazz, ska, disco, and funk.
Yeah.
And heavy metal. Yeah. Oh, Mike Patton. He's from Faith No More. And today we're covering a story about a former Mr. Bungle member who was arrested for potentially killing his girlfriend. Somebody suggested this, but I tried to search for where it was at, and I could not find it. So, I don't know. I'm sorry to whoever you are. This one's going to be kind of short, because I looked at like 15 different articles, and they all just had the same information. It doesn't look like he's been sentenced or, anything like that yet. He was just recently arrested, so...
You're listening to Death by Music podcast. Almost fucked that up. My name is Jacob, obviously. And I'm here with Alex. I don't know what I'm doing today.
You'll figure it out. You're getting the hang of it after, 100 fucking mini episodes. You'll figure it out. But by the way, this is a mini episode, which is why it's going to be short. If you want to find our full episodes, well, then just fucking scroll down back a couple of weeks and go listen to Ian Curtis, which is the most recent full episode that we released. Ian Curtis from Joy Division. Anyways, on to this mini episode. This one comes from blabbermouth.net, and I don't see an author listed, but it was posted on January 3rd. So this is of 2024. Don't know when you're listening. Are you from the future or are you from the present? The Capitola Police Department, in collaboration with the Santa Cruz County District Attorney's Office, El Cerrito Police Department, and the Department of Justice, all these people, have successfully apprehended former Mr. Bungle member Theo Brooks Lengyel in connection with the homicide of his girlfriend, Alice Kamakau Kalani. Sounds like Hawaiian name to me. A 61-year-old Capitola, California resident. The arrest of the 54-year-old Lengyel was executed on Tuesday, January 2nd, with the help of the Santa Cruz Sheriff's Office in Santa Cruz County, following an intensive and collaborative investigation by the Capitola Police Department. So
they just arrested him. In January.
When this article came out, he had just been arrested for this. It sounds like she was murdered. They were investigating it. I hope this has some fucking details. The joint efforts with the Santa Cruz District Attorney's Office and the El Cerrito Police Department have been instrumental in bringing this case to a resolution. Kamakau Kalani was last seen on December 3rd of 2023, prompting a missing person investigation from law enforcement agencies. The Capitola Police Department, in conjunction with the El Cerrito Police Department, initiated an investigation into her disappearance on December 12th. So it took them almost 10 days to start investigating it? That's crazy. I mean, they have like fucking TV shows about this, how the first 48 hours after a disappearance are the most important. But it has to be convincing that the person disappeared and didn't like leave of their own volition, you know?
Yeah, and I wonder if... they were already investigating it, but they had to get together with this other department for assistance. Maybe they're covering a large area. I don't know where these places are at. I'm assuming they're all out in California somewhere.
I guess it also depends on when she was reported
missing.
Because they said that she was last seen on December 3rd, so maybe people didn't report her missing until like December 7th, and then they started the investigation on the 12th. So maybe they did start it like right as soon as they found out. That's crazy. That's kind of scary. And a thing about living on your own, too, because if you disappeared, how long would it take people to notice?
Probably a while for me.
I don't think a while. Well, because as long as you didn't disappear on a Friday, they would notice by the time Monday rolled around. That's probably about the longest time. Because
they'd notice at work and they'd be like, oh, what's going on there?
But you would never no call, no show. I mean, people would notice. And somebody from work would be like, that's not like him. He's been working here forever. One of your coworkers live in your neighborhood? Well, send her by and see if she can, you know, locate you, because
I'll have to work on that so I can disappear.
No.
Easier.
Well, I would fucking notice anyways because I live
here. Oh, yeah, that's right. You live here.
I'm acting like I don't fucking live here.
Hmm. Well,
you can't go missing,
yes.
Bitch. I would be surprised if you didn't feed your cat in the morning. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would still just feed him, but I think I would notice.
Maybe.
If your car wasn't moving because it's so fucking loud.
It's not that loud.
It wakes
me
up.
It was described as the adult exhaust.
Okay, because kids need quieter ones. That's weird.
No, the adults are the adult one is the quieter exhaust on that car.
Yeah, I think I would notice pretty quickly. Well, just because we live together. You would notice if I was missing too, probably, because I normally tell you if I'm going to leave, except I didn't the one time.
After you've already left and have been gone for like 24 hours.
Yeah, because I know I'll be good for 24 hours, but then after that I'm like, well, I probably should have told you. Well, I'm curious for you guys before we read this article, how long... Let's put it in the Facebook group. How long do you think it would take for someone to notice you're missing? This would be alarming if you lived alone, because I don't think people from work would notice or care if I went missing, because I don't tell them when I'm leaving anyways, really. And nobody
and
would...
you sort of get to semi-make your own schedule.
Yeah, they know that I have a setup at home, so I think they would, if they were really concerned, they would probably look in the studios and see if my talk breaks are being filled or if it really, if they're all just being skipped. And then
that would be an indicator, yeah.
And then maybe somebody would look into it, maybe. But I don't expect them to show up at the house, you know. They would probably be calling me, and then when I'm not answering, I don't know. I wonder. Because you don't want to just go off and call the cops, like, immediately, because what if, you know,
yeah,
it's
and
not
they're
an
not going to do anything until it's 24 hours anyway, so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so detectives from the Capitola Police Department gathered evidence, conducted interviews, and collaborated with partner agencies to piece together the circumstances surrounding Kamakaui Kalani's disappearance.
You should look up see if there's like a news clip somewhere so you can hear what her name is.
I mean, it looks like a Hawaiian name, and those are generally like you pronounce every single vowel separately. So... that's why I'm saying it that way.
No, that's fine.
As the investigation progressed, it became clear that foul play was involved, leading to the identification of Lengil as a suspect. I wonder if they live together, because it's always the spouse. The investigation led investigators to recover human remains in a wooded area within Tilden Regional Park in Berkeley. The identification of the human remains is pending DNA confirmation from the Contra County Coroner's Office. Huh. So the diligent work of our investigators in coordination with our law enforcement partners has led to the apprehension of Theobald in connection with the tragic homicide of Alice. A Capitola Police statement read, "We extend our deepest condolences to the family and friends of the victim during this difficult time. Lengil is currently in custody and the Capitola Police Department will work closely with the Santa Cruz County District Attorney's Office to ensure a thorough prosecution of the case. This remains an ongoing investigation." According to SF Gate, Lengil was a founding member of Mr. Bungle and spent nearly 10 years with the band playing saxophone, clarinet, and keyboards. He appeared on the Mr. Bungle demo, The Raging Wrath of the Easter Bunny, as well as the band's first two major label albums, Mr. Bungle and Disco Volante. In a 2005 question and answer session, Mr. Bungle bassist Trevor Dunn said Lengil exited the group on bad terms. We unanimously decided to go on without him because he wasn't growing with the rest of the band and we were running out of things for him to do. He got pissed off and I haven't heard from him since. Okay, so he was booked in the jail. He was arrested without incident.
There's a Facebook post right there from the Capitola Police.
Yeah, that's what I'm reading right now.
Oh, okay. So not a whole lot of information at this point. It's just, especially because it's ongoing and it literally just happened a few months ago
in January. So I wonder how long it takes to get results back from like a DNA test.
I wouldn't
think it would take that long, but there's no update on this.
I was about to say we might just have to keep an eye out for updates, maybe figure out what the local news station is out there in this area, and we'll just kind of watch their
keep up their to date with them
website or something.
Yeah, because I think it's interesting that they found the remains. They haven't identified them, but they still arrested him in connection with it. But they don't even know if that's her.
They must have other evidence to connect him to it to warrant an arrest. Obviously.
I mean, they must.
And they're not going to tell us right now because they're still investigating. But we're going to have to wait till it goes to trial and see what happens.
I don't really know what else to say about that. That was fucking super short, and there was nothing else going on in there.
Yeah, super short story. Maybe we'll maybe while we're waiting for more information, we could do a more in-depth article on Mr. Bungle.
I was just going to look up another fucking musician arrested for murder.
Oh, all right. That works, too.
Well, I found some rock and metal musicians who have served time in prison. And I'm hoping they're using the correct terminology here, because prison means it's a...
That's the big leagues.
So there's misdemeanor and felony. Prison is for felonies. And so you're in there. You are sentenced to a year or longer.
Right.
So because that story was so short, I guess we'll hit some of these. This is from Lauren Schaffner at Loudwire. We've talked about Tim Lambesis already. He was the guy from As They Lay Dying that hired a hitman.
Yep.
To take out his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And so he went to prison for that. Ronnie Radke. I've often wondered what people's fucking issue is with this guy, because I hear everybody hates him in the like metal community because apparently he's an asshole.
What's his name?
Ronnie Radke. He is in Falling in Reverse. And a lot of people...
I think I've heard of them.
Yeah, you probably have. A lot of people talk shit on them. I don't listen to Falling in Reverse. I don't care. Falling in Reverse frontman Ronnie Radke has had a few run-ins with the law, but was only imprisoned once. In 2006, he was involved in an altercation near a Las Vegas high school that turned fatal. What the fuck? Chase Rader, who accompanied Radke to the fight, shot and killed an 18-year-old named Michael Cook. However, he wasn't charged for the murder because it was deemed he acted in self-defense, as another individual named Michael Colquitt had also pulled out a gun during the dispute. Radke, however, was charged with battery and substantial bodily harm for having brass knuckles at the fight, and he pled guilty. He was sentenced to 5 years probation and had to pay restitution to Cook's mother. The situation ended his time with his former band, Escape the Fate. I've heard of them. I did not realize it was the same guy in both of those bands.
Oh, wow.
Radke was sentenced to 2.5 years in prison after missing a meeting with his parole officer in 2008. That sucks. Which was considered a violation of his probation, according to Rolling Stone. While in prison, he started writing songs for what would become Falling in Reverse. The vocalist was later arrested for a domestic abuse charge, which was dropped, assaulting a fan with a microphone during a Six Flags performance with Falling in Reverse, which he was released for on bail and publicly apologized for, and sexual assault, which authorities found no evidence for, so Radke filed a defamation suit against the woman in response. Radke is still known for being one of the more outspoken musicians in rock music today, but he's certainly come a long way from his past. Okay. Oh, I don't like this one. Ian Watkins. In December of 2012, Lost Prophets vocalist Ian Watkins was charged with 6 child sex offenses, including conspiracy to engage in sexual activity with a female under 13. Ugh. And the possession and distribution of indecent images of children. However, he'd apparently been committing heinous sexual acts with children as early as 2008.
Bro. So is this the musician that's doing this?
Ian Watkins. This is a different guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Lost Prophets. I've heard of that band. Wow, this is fucking crazy. Why the fuck, if you were doing all this shit with kids, would you join a band and make yourself a public figure? Like, you'd think you would want to lay low, right? And not... that's so weird to me. But also, it's weird that you were trying to fuck a fucking 13-year-old. The Guardian reported that 6 people had gone to authorities with allegations against Watkins between 2008 and 2012, one of which was the vocalist's ex-girlfriend, who claimed that he told her once he had once gave a child cocaine and touched them inappropriately. Oh my God, what a fucking psycho. The police failed to truly investigate the claims. What? That had been made against him during that time frame, but he could have been stopped much sooner if they had. Watkins pleaded guilty to 13 child sex offenses in 2013, including the attempted, I don't even want to say this, the worst thing you could possibly think of with a baby. His defense, Sally O'Neill, poor woman, said that he belatedly realized the gravity of what happened and was deeply, deeply sorry, and that he formed an obsession with filming himself having sex and became addicted to drugs when he was 30. So he allegedly had no memory of some of the things he'd done. Gross, dude. So he was sentenced to 35 years in prison. Thank fuck. 2 mothers of the children he abused were also sentenced during the trial.
but you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. We all artists, man. We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kai, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gotta lie, we play with this shit right now for real. I gotta lie.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
Oh, did he manipulate them into allowing him to do this?
I wonder.
And they were technically, what would that be, accessories to the crime?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
And like probably negligence for leaving that? Their fucking babies with this creep. I wonder if they were like involved and he was like, well, you have kids. Let me fucking hang out with them too.
Yeah, he must have had he had to have been manipulating them somehow, and they just ended up as I don't know. I mean, because why would you allow that to happen to your kid?
Right.
Aside from you've just been, I don't know,
totally manipulated by this guy.
Manipulated, brainwashed somehow.
Well, and also into, if he's doing drugs and they're doing drugs.
Drugs, yeah,
drug,
that doesn't help
fucks
anything.
Things up too.
So he could have been, yeah, okay.
Yeah, fucked up. Prosecutor Suzanne Thomas said he is a highly dangerous and manipulative individual who preyed on his victims in a calculated manner. The other two defendants were active participants in the most shocking abuse of their own children. They too have received sentences that reflect their admissions of guilt for those offenses. He since received additional time for having possession of a phone while in prison and also groomed a mother of a 2-year-old from behind bars who had exchanged fan mail with him and even visited him. Bitch, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't understand those
right,
people that do that.
Yeah, to the prisoners.
Whatever the psychology is behind that, I just like
literally crazy. In August of 2023, Watkins was hospitalized after being beaten and stabbed. Ah, at the Wakefield prison or whatever. He was deemed in life-threatening condition at the time, but it has since been confirmed that his injuries are not life-threatening.
So that happened in prison, right, to him?
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if they found out.
They fucking stab pedophiles.
Yeah, that's like the pedophiles and what are the other ones? There's a couple of them where if the inmates find out what you did, they will...
I think it's rapists and pedophiles.
Yeah, they will fuck you up, if not kill you straight out, you know.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Jim Gordon is our next person. Jim Gordon was a popular session drummer in the 60s and 70s, but he's best known for his work with Traffic and Eric Clapton's Derek and the Dominoes, particularly for having co-written the song Layla, which we did a mini episode on before. I think that one's already migrated to Patreon. But by the end of the 70s, Gordon's mental illness and substance abuse started to take a toll on his life. He'd been suffering from intense paranoia, which he attempted to treat with drugs and alcohol, according to Rolling Stone. His friends, fellow musicians, and girlfriends began to notice his behavior growing increasingly irritable, and then he started hearing voices. The voices started out friendly. They were giving me little pointers, how to take care of myself in the house, how to shop. I was glad for the help. I was getting ready for the rest of my life. I thought it was pretty strange, but there was nothing I could do about it. I heard them all the time. They would tell me if I was doing right or wrong. Eventually, he started hearing his mother's voice, and he claimed that it told him to kill her. Yikes. Oh, my God. All so right. In June of 1983, he showed up at her door, hit her with a hammer multiple times, and then stabbed her in the chest with a knife. Wow. This episode is taking a turn that I was not prepared for. Based on his alleged symptoms, Gordon was diagnosed with schizophrenia by psychiatrists during the trial, but wasn't able to use an insanity defense because of California laws at the time. He was charged with second-degree murder and sentenced to 16 years to life in prison. In 2018, he was denied parole because he was still deemed a danger to himself and society. He died in March of 2023 due to natural causes while in the California Medical Facility, which is a medical and psychiatric prison. A lot of black metal guys in here, but I'm not going to read those because we've already covered them. Yeah. We passed over Faust, Varg, and Gall, which we did many episodes or full episodes on all of them. Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll had a several-year-long career as a hip-hop artist before he transitioned to country, and in the spring of 2022, his song Dead Man Walking went to number one on rock radio. Prior to his musical career, though, Jelly Roll spent a lot of years behind bars, and he hasn't opened up about the charges until recently. And this is, so far, the only guy on this list who is not a piece of shit, in my opinion.
So not a abuser, pedophile, no, murderer.
Yeah, no. Let me read about this because I never actually knew why he was in prison. This will be the first time I've ever actually talked about the charge, he said on the Joe Rogan Experience in 2023. It was a heinous crime, admittedly. It was horrible. We robbed a couple of guys for some weed. It was an armed robbery. We went in there with a gun. I regret it every day of my life. Jelly Roll was around 15 years old when he committed the crime, but he was arrested for aggravated robbery and charged as an adult. He was incarcerated through his 20th birthday. Because the state of Tennessee has a zero forgiveness policy for violent offenders, I've carried that inexpungible felony for 20-something years, he continued, adding that it's impacted his ability to do common things such as buy a house, purchase life insurance, or volunteer at events. Thus, he contributes to society in other ways, such as donating to programs for incarcerated juveniles. We sucked $250,000 in there from my last hometown show. I sold out my arena, he said. I'm going to do so much for at-risk youth in Nashville because my whole life changed in that. And this guy's gone in front of Congress and made the case against fentanyl and shit like that. Talking to them about changing drug policy because people are getting, he was locked up as a fucking 15-year-old in a case that was involving drugs. It was an armed robbery, but
yeah, I mean, that's all going to vary depending on what jurisdiction you're in.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate he got caught up in that, but also, I mean, he made a decision at the time. Granted, he was a kid, and it does sound like, it's something he's tried to not repeat. Obviously, he's gone 20 some odd plus years. It sounds to me like he learned his lesson and is trying, obviously, to help other people. So, I mean, it sucks that he got charged as an adult, but it's kind of like a wrong place at the wrong time type of deal that he got caught up in,
But I mean,
and however he grew up is, obviously doesn't sound like it was great.
Interesting to me that the low age that they can decide to try someone at as an adult, because 15, there's a reason why that exists in the first place, and it's because your frontal lobe is not fully developed. Who you are at 15, I don't care who the fuck you are, is never going to be who you are as a fully developed adult. So, but they make exceptions depending on how brutal or what the circumstances are surrounding a crime.
Right.
And I feel like there just needs to be a threshold on that. Like, were you 17 or were you 18? Not were you 15, because a 15-year-old is still nothing like an 18-year-old, is nothing like a fucking 30-year-old.
I think that's where most of the distinction comes from, is, once you hit 18, that's kind of...
Yeah, that's when the line is drawn, but they make exceptions. And making an exception for a 15-year-old is crazy to try them as an adult, because he's literally a child.
Yeah, unless it didn't say that he murdered the guy.
And nobody got hurt.
No, yeah. Now, if he murdered the guy, I could see stretching it, pulling that down to 15. You get tried as an adult, depending on the situation. I agree with what you're saying. I mean, we don't know all the stipulations of this particular case other than what he's stated.
There's one more on here that I believe we talked about in our black metal episodes. I'm going to read it just in case, though, because I know there were some details that we kind of left out because it wasn't relevant to the bands that we were discussing. Mm-hmm. This guy, John Notvit, was the founding vocalist and lead guitarist of Swedish black metal band Dissection, but he was involved in a murder in the latter half of the 90s. According to criminal journalist Lars Olin's article, Satanist Mordet... why is this in a different language? In July of 1997, a teenage boy discovered the body of a man in Sweden's Kyler's Park. He'd been shot twice and he was identified as gay 36-year-old man named Joseph Ben Medor. Other than Medor's ex-boyfriend, authorities had no suspects for the murder. Several months later, a woman went to the Stockholm police station to file a complaint against her boyfriend, Vlad, who'd allegedly beaten and threatened to kill her. She also told them that Vlad had admitted to committing what was known as the Kyler's Park murder with his friend John, a.k.a. Nodvit. According to her report, Vlad and Nodvit had met Medor in Gothenburg and convinced him to follow them to Kyler's Park.
Gothenburg?
Yeah, whatever. It's TH. So maybe, I don't know. They attempted to tase him, and after he tried to run away, they each shot him. She directed police to the location of the weapon, and thus Vlad and Notvit were arrested. At first, they both denied any involvement, but Notvit confessed, stating that Madur asked them if they were Satanists after seeing them outside. He wanted to know more about it, according to Notvit, so they invited him back to his home, where they became offended by his apparent homosexuality. Do y'all know anything about Satanism? That's when they suggested going to Kyler's Park. Notvit was sentenced to 8 years for accessory to murder and illegal possession of a firearm, and Vlad was given 10 for the murder in addition to the violence against his girlfriend and some other charges. Notvit's sentence was later increased after he requested an appeal. What? He was like, hey, can I get out soon? And they were like, nah, fuck
no,
you.
You have to stay
actually
longer.
Two more years. Say another thing. I fucking dare you. But they were both released from prison in 2004. Notvit died by suicide in 2006.
Those wacky black metal guys.
Yeah. It's a lot of crime in that scene.
Yeah.
Half of the list was black metal guys. I just skipped over them. So, all right. Well, I guess we'll give you guys an update if we hear more about this whole Mr. Bungle thing. I mean, everything takes fucking forever in the courts. So it could be months. It could be years before they actually have a trial.
Possibly,
but
yeah.
It's going to depend on getting those remains identified. So when we get an update for that, we'll do another mini episode.
And hopefully it'll be a little more information.
Yeah, sorry. I thought it was going to be literally anything, but all they said was, hey, it happened, probably, and he got arrested. And that's it. We'll keep you guys posted. Thank you for listening. Rest in peace.
Later.
Death by Music podcast is written and produced by Alex Motler, Cassie Gardner, and Jake.